This is the first time that I've ever given such a long hakdama, but I do feel it's necessary. So we talk a little bit more today, a few more minutes. I began the hakdama last week. I really prefer to learn inside. I remember when there was once when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. In those years, they started the Tochnit Yud Gimel, the 12th grade, to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we had there was this tzaddik that we had was giving us a shiur. He was supposed to give us a shiur in the Shmona Prokem of the Rambam. It was from Merkaz Rav Kook. He had, you know, keep a suga like this, and he came on a motorcycle on a tustus. He was a tzaddik of a year. And Hagdama was the whole zman. He never actually opened the sefer. I remember that. He kept on saying, "Befachid leftoch and fachid lengob." That's not going to happen now. But there needs to be more of Hagdama, because the Maimah is the Maimah Hador. And this question that I raised last week about the relevance of the Maimah is a really very important one. And the truth is, I would spend a few more weeks talking about the historical context to understand what was going on in those days, what was happening in Russia in those days, the Pale of Settlement, and the pogroms and the tsars, financially what was happening, socially what was happening. It was such a time of upheaval, of change, of revolution in Eastern Europe, and we don't have the time to go in. It's not a history class, but the emphasis is the reka over here. The background is very important. The nekuda pnimius is this. You know that Rav Kook always uses the word or. Almost all of his sarm are or a light. And there's an unbelievable amount of light that's shining from all of Rav Kook's Svarim. But the tzaddik, throughout his Svarim, throughout the Iris, in particular, the Sefer HaOiris, which is, you could say, if not the most controversial, the top three controversial Svarim of Rav Kook, in the Iris, Rav Kook cries a lot about the darkness of the generation. Now here, remember that the Maimer Hador begins and is based upon, and we spoke about last week, that this is a Dor Godel, a Merdeke, great generation, the greatness of the generation. In the Iris of Kook, over and over, I'm going to give just a few sentences today, just to give the context. Akatnus, Vakintorius, the katnus, the smallness, kintorius, I guess the contentiousness. Hanimsoz betachtis achayim, that's found at the bottom of life, that we're living now, he said. The generation is sitting at the bottom of life, filled with katnus, with smallness, with kintorius, fighting, infighting, contentiousness, arguing, and so on. Hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the Iris and the other Svarim, Rav Kook writes about the obsession with Chumrius, with Gashmius, with materialism. V'afilo ha'chokam v'ha'soifah shebo. And you know that Rav Kook often addressed the writers, the secular writers, the writers of the generation. And he says, even the intelligent people, even the chachamim and the soifim, even the educated people, the writers, he says, sof sof hamoinihu. Sof sof is like a peasants. Hamoini means that. Like from the, they don't get it. They don't get it. They just don't get it. Artsy, bound to physical things and so on. Bechol ma'ayono l'chaye hazman v'ha'olam. They're not thinking bigger thoughts. They're stuck. The grounded. Over and over, Rav Kook speaks about this. Imkein, oy bazoy, if that's the case. So, what does he mean when he speaks in this maimer? He begins with this explosion of the Dor Godel, Hador, that this generation is a generation the greatest generation that ever lived. The greatest generation there ever was. Now we need to answer that, because if Hador is relevant now, and we look around and we see katnus and kantarius, kfelach, small-mindedness, pathetic small-mindedness, kantarius, infighting, outfighting, fighting, arguing, and so on. If we are going to be able to learn the Maimer and to hear Rav Kook speaking to us as a great generation, as a generation of all generations, as a continuation of the generation that he was addressing at the beginning of the 20th century, then we need to understand what does he mean? Either it's the greatest generation, or it's the generation that he describes as being filled with darkness and smallness and being materialistic. So what does he mean? What does he mean by the dar being great? What's the godless of the generation? This is an important nakuda. So it's very, very clear that when you learn this maimer in the context of his other writings, that Rav Kook was not referring to the behavior of the generation. And again, if we look at our own behavior, it's as pathetic or more pathetic than it was at that time. He wasn't speaking to the behavior, not of the individual, and not even of the chevra at that time. He was speaking about a shift that took place in the she'ifas, in the yearnings, in the hopes, in the yearnings of the generation. And he saw that this shift in the she'ifas, in the interests of the generation, he believed that this shift was made edus that the neshamas al gordel nishmay seyam shabnei hador, that something had happened, something had opened up, which I'll explain, in the neshamas of the generation. Therefore, it has to be very clear that he wasn't talking about the chitzonias of the time. He wasn't talking about the behavior of how people were conducting themselves, not the chitzonias hagluya. There the godless is not recognized. Over and over, I'll just give you two or three sentences. Dor shebekoach yesh lo rav. Dor shebekoach, potentially, yesh lo rav. It hadn't materialized yet. Dor shebekoach, and he was able to identify this and recognize this greatness or this potential. Dor shebekoach yesh lo rav ubepoal lo klum. Does that say it all? The koach yesh lo rav, in potential, a tremendous potential. Uba poil, but lamaisa, he says, lo klum, garnished. Nothing, lo klum. Shum dover lo yotza omnam el apoil. Nothing. Afal pi she'en lo adayin bapol ma'uma. I'm just taking from different places. Afal pi she'en lo adayin bapol ma'uma. Nothing has happened with all of this rumbling. Nothing has happened. So what's he talking about? Hador. Oifi says shel geula habola fenenu shereishis tzadeh hinenu chashim umargishim hu b'tochiyusa shel Knesset Yisrael. He says the first steps towards redemption. The first steps towards redemption. He says hinenu chashim umargishim. We are sensing and feeling b'tochiyusa shel Knesset Yisrael. In the toichius. We're feeling it emerging from the inner core of Knesset Yisrael. In his letters, Valdvar Ha'oras Hagula, as far as the light of redemption is concerned, Ein Harayon Soveiv Al Hamaymet Hamaisi. The thoughts of redemption that I'm referring to are not regarding the Lamaisa that we see, the Maisi. Kim al hazrocha hanishmosis. Hazrocha hanishmosis, the spiritual light that is beginning to shine. So, Aleph, it's very clear that the Lamaisa of the generation of Rav Kook is very similar to the Lamaisa of our generation. The Lamaisa. And in certain ways, our generation has already shown tremendous improvement. And the great strides have been taken, which we'll talk about in Mitzvah Shem when we learn the Maimon. The generation he was speaking to was filled with katnus and with yeyush. The kviyus of godless, what he was kaveya, the godless of the generation was, that the generation is a bal ruach godl. Bal ruach godl. B'soich soicha mistateres shchinas kel chai. He saw this. Now, how is that different from any Jewish generation? Inside the Jewish people, there's always been the shchinas kel chai. So, the shift that he was referring to, and the change that he began to see, was not referring to the chalutzim and the working of the land and people coming and a certain kind of a nationalism, which Shmuel rightly pointed out last week that nationalism was cooking everywhere. The whole Europe was on fire with radical nationalism, not just nationalism, but radical nationalism, which caused plenty of tsars. That's not what he was referring to. He writes in a letter to the Ritbaz. There's a famous letter that he wrote to the Ritbaz. The Ritbaz is an Odom Godel Ma'od from the old school, but with a modern way of thinking. At least he corresponded with the Rav Kook. So there was a netiyah in that direction, an Odom Godel Ma'od, but a very important person. He was Shalmi. Tzfas, he was in America for a while also. And there's a very famous letter in the first Chelik of the Igris, and over there, Shin Samach Tes, Shin Ayin, the Yedidi. Now, the context of that letter was the Ritbaz did not understand what Rav Kook was doing, reaching out to the non-religious of the generation. Now, it seems very obvious to us, Kiruv, and going out, and Project Inspire, and Identity, and Eshet Torah, and Chabad, and everything. It's very obvious to us. At that time, it wasn't obvious at all. The Yeshuvniks at the turn of the century were not just not religious, they b'emes were not religious. They were ideologically anti-religious. That's not who we're talking to nowadays, we're just talking to Balik Taiva. But they were ideologically anti-religious, intelligent, learned people who came for the most part from religious homes who had it. And the tone of their voice was belligerent. There were traces of kfir and apikorsis. Eating on Yom Kippur. I mean, we're not talking here about a little bit Bali Taiva. I mean, they had a sheet. It was a merid. It was a rebellion against God. It was a rebellion against their parents. And Rav Kook, as you know, reached out to these people. They adored him. He reached out to them. And the Ritbaz was questioning Rav Kook's entire approach of mingling with people who he saw as apikorsim and kaifim. It's a long, very important letter. Where he establishes there in that letter, there's much of his whole Shita Sechaim is seen in that letter. But he writes there, V'yididi sha'al al tam darvizah. And my friend, you have asked me the reason why I'm doing this. Hine Ahuvi, he says, my beloved, Eilehem inyanam ha'indim rumishal oilam. What I'm doing, going down, because the Ritbaz also felt it wasn't the covet of Rav Kook, it wasn't the covet of Torah. He felt that Rav Kook was being mivaza, not only himself, but the covet of the Chacham and the Tzadikim of the generation, to be Isaac with these things. So Rav Kook writes, that you should know, my beloved, that what I'm doing, what I'm talking about, these are things that stand at the highest point of the universe. Umakaram kodesh barazei Torah, and the makar of my behavior, the source of my behavior, is barazei Torah, is in the secrets of Torah. Which it seems that the Ritbaz was not on the surface. It seems that the Ritbaz was not a student of Kabbalah, of Pnimius of Torah. And Kook says, the source, the makar of my behavior, is Lag B'Omedik, you understand, it's every shift. Ulahavis Yedidi, and because I love you so much, Ermaiz Lebek Tzara, I'll just say something briefly. Klal Gadol Hu, and I've spoken about this many times over the years. There's a whole Chanukah, not this year, years ago. Klal Gadol Hu is a tremendous klal, a principle. Sha'afa pi sha'olam yoser tamid biyirida acha yirida. There's a klal of his katnas that as the generations go from creation, Maimon HaSinai, that the generations since Maimon HaSinai in particular, that there's yirida acha yirida. This is the theme that we all grew up with. His katnas adairas, the diminishing dairas, the generations are getting weaker and further away. Mikol makom ein ze ki mitzad hachitzonius shelo. This is only mitzad hachitzonius. The Rabbi Pinchas Karitzer has a famous thing on this. And by the tzaddikim, main mitzad, the Gra, the Talmid HaGra, and the Talmid Baal Shem, this is something which is spoken about a great deal. That as far as the klal, the ironclad rule, that generations are getting worse and lower, that's only as far as the chitzonius is concerned, the behavior of the generation. Aber mitzad ha-pnimius, however mitzad ha-pnimius, mitzad ha-pnimius, dainu koach ha-klal, sha-klolus kedushas ha-umma knesses Yisrael, as far as the pnimius and the kedusha of the collective reality of the Jewish people, kol dor v'dor moisif al hadoros harishonim. Each generation, as we move along towards Mashiach, each generation is moisif, is adding. In other words, it's cumulative. It's not, or there's a lashon that is found even in the svarim of a midget standing on the shoulders of a giant. But Rav Kook didn't see it exactly as that, and it's not what this from. That's not exactly what they're referring to. But he said, "Mitzad the pnimius, the generations are growing stronger and stronger. The earlier generations fought with tremendous amounts of darkness, and these generations, at the end of time, are the beneficiaries of those wars against darkness. And we know what he's referring to is the hisgalus of the light." Of the Zara Kodesh, the Ariya Kodesh, the Gra, the Baal Shem, and so on, the Shtalshus Adairus. And what the Zara says will be, and I mentioned last week at the end of time, and the teachings of the Ariya Kodesh regarding Derev Asra, the last generation, what the last generation is going to be like, and the return to Pnimius HaTara, the return to the inner light of Tara, and the inner light of the Jewish soul. Kol Derev Adam Moisif Al Adairus HaRishayim. Alkein heimisayrim lekama machshavus shel yoshev etzedek. Therefore, Rav Kook says we find that in our times there's a hisayrus for certain thoughts of yoshev etzedek, of democracy, tzedek, and righteousness. Concepts that if they were taught or they were spoken of, it was only by individuals in the Middle Ages, and those individuals would usually be burned at the stake, thrown into jail. But bechlal, the world Rav Kook saw is evolving in that way, in pnimius. And therefore we find that there are demands on the part of the generation for equality for women, equality for other races that people that were despised and hated and prejudiced. Rav Kook wrote about all of this. And in particular by Knesset itself, is El Said Oni Reicher Velachamor, that we're going to see in the beginning of the Maimon. And this is the secret, the mystery of the way the arrival of Mashiach is described as a poor man riding on a donkey. Oni Reicher Velachamor. She'omru B'tikun Yizor, which is the basis of this Maimon that we're going to learn, this teaching of the Tikkuni Zohar, Shudara de Ikve de Mashiach, that the generation of Ikve de Mashiach, of the end of time, the entire generation, is an Oni Roichev al Hamor, a poor man riding on a donkey, which the Tikkuni Zohar says, on the outside is disgusting and ugly, but on the inside is exceedingly beautiful, which we're going to talk about in the Maamar. Shchar and Mivanav. On the outside is disgusting and dark as far as the behavior of the generation is concerned, the goings on, but in Pnimius, Rav Kook writes to the Ritbaz, this is the site of the Tikkuni Zohar, our generation, we're seeing this. And because of that, those Koiches HaNefesh that were asleep over all of the centuries, Rav Kook said, are beginning to awaken. And even though they're not emerging yet in the Chitzonius and the package of religious observance, Emes, not in terms of religious observance and not in terms of self-control regarding materialism and taibis and so on. However, Musa, idealism, ethics, all of these were becoming the conversations in Jewish homes and even Lahavdil and non-Jewish homes in Europe in those days. And therefore, Mitzad the Avira, the atmosphere of that time, Dor Bal Ruach Gadol is no longer in that letter. This is in Ayah. Dor Bal Ruach Gadol, he says, this is the generation that has such a Ruach inside. Chofetz Umuchrach Lachpaitz Bechol Mokam Shul Paine Lishmo Devarim Gedolim. The generation that has such a Ruach Gadol is longing and must hear Dvarim Gedolim, great things. We can't speak anymore about small things. Last week we were talking about the Pratim, the details, the Pratim. We have to begin to address bigger things in this generation. Rav Kook says it's not a matter of Bechir Choshes. That's what's happening in the world. That's what's happening in Am Yisrael. And that's why he says, Muchrach Lachbaitz. Muchrach Lachbaitz. In Ikve Etzon, there's a Maimah Das Elokim in Ikve Etzon. Achsho Beik for the Mashiach Le'eis is Galus Shel Ha'efsharus Le'idealim Hanisoyim Ha'klolim Le'igolos. Great ideals that address broad issues are beginning to be revealed. And he says the katnas is mistalekis min hanefesh haklolis. Jews are beginning to think more on a national scale as opposed to an individual scale. So this Rav Kook did not see, when he speaks about the door, he wasn't talking about the lamaisa. He was talking about the koach, he was talking about the bekoach, the potential, the idealism. And therefore, he says that when we compare our generation to earlier generations, he says, earlier generations, the generations that preceded us, were filled mostly with irrational observance of all kinds of undemocratic laws, blind obedience to tyrants, to dictators, to kings, and so on. Mashenikini says that in our generation, people are no longer willing to tolerate this. People are rebelling against tyranny. They're rebelling against the life of the Middle Ages. And they're beginning to climb out of that shell that they were in. Another koach that Rav Kook saw in the generation was that the young people of the generation with their disengagement from Torah mitzvahs, he saw that the young generation were disgusted with pachdanut, he called it, pachdanus, with Jewish pachdanus, how do you translate that? Cowardice. He's a coward. He's a cowardice. Pachdonis. Always afraid. Pachdonis. And he said the generation was filled with the young people were filled with a new sense of Jewish strength. Ometz Halev, which Rav Kook refers to all the time, courage of heart, that we're no longer going to grovel in front of the Goyim, and we're going to begin to fight for what we believe in. I spoke last week about that time, this service of people like Jabotinsky and that whole tenua that was beginning to take shape and form in Europe, and then would move over to Eretz Yisrael. The new generation was disgusted with the whole image of the Jew of Galus. Of course, with that they threw out Torah mitzvahs, because they associated the cowardice, was the pachdonus, the cowardice. I mean, there were good reasons to be afraid, but the young generation associated that whole meekness of the Jewish people with the leadership and with the Torah mitzvahs of Golus. Of course, they needed to make that separation, that distinction, that to be a true Jewish warrior, it's together with your tallis and tefillin, not without your tallis and tefillin. But Rav Kook understood that the generation of the end of time, in its rebellion against Jewish cowardice, meekness, the conditioning of the Jewish people over the long years of Galus to simply be afraid of our own shadow. Rav Kook saw that the rebellion against that way of thinking, that way of living, that even though it came in that form, in that surah of throwing out the whole lifestyle of the old generation, and that was of course wrong, and Rav Kook believed that these are the young generation is filled with idealism and courage, and we need to show the young generation that that doesn't contradict Yiddishkeit. That's truly Yiddishkeit. That's what Yiddishkeit is about. What happened over the thousands of years of Galus is a perversion, a distortion of Yiddishkeit. A distortion of Yiddishkeit. True Yiddishkeit is not just about your kihila, your shul, your besamedrish, your chassidus, your family. True Yiddishkeit looks at a much bigger picture of Am Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael. When you look, again, this light of Knesset Yisrael is shining most brightly in the Zohar Kaddish. It's not just about your kehila, but over the years of Galus, what happened was, and it's totally understandable that what happened over the years of Galus is that, you know, each man on his own. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your shtibl, of your besmedish, of your chassidus. And as a result of that, we became caught up in kleinikait and smallness and a small way of thinking. But when one looks at Pnimius HaTorah, all of Pnimius HaTorah is about Am Yisrael, is about the Jewish people as a nation, the nation of Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael. So the reason Rav Kook said that the young generation is abandoning the Torah, he says that doesn't come from katness. It doesn't come from smallness. That's not why the young generation, and it's the same exact thing now. That's why every word in this Maimer is talking Klopshin Ayin Dalet. Of course, it's not because of katness. It's because they grew up in the cheder, they grew up in yeshivas, they grew up in the shtetl, they grew up with us, and they never ever saw, it was never taught to them, that Torah Yisrael, that the Torah of Am Yisrael is big. And the Torah of Am Yisrael speaks to Am Yisrael as a people. And the Torah of Am Yisrael is a Torah klolis for the klal, for the tzibur, for all of Am Yisrael. And because the young generation saw that they did not receive this when they were growing up in yeshiva and in cheder, memela, it seemed to them that the mesorah that they received from their fathers was a mesorah, was a tradition of cowardice, was a tradition of particularism as opposed to a tradition of universalism. And when they rebelled against all of that, and they were seeking, looking for godless and for Am Yisrael, memela, they rejected the Yiddishkeit of their parents. They rejected the form of Yiddishkeit of their parents.
But Rabbi, today we see Hapuch. Today we see the greatest soldiers in Israel are the yeshiva boys. So they do understand that.
That's why I said before that there's tremendous improvement and things are beginning to catch on. It's taking a long time, but we're going to, as we learn the Maimer, we're going to talk about that. That's true. That's clear. So he said that he says other Abbas says the courage and the vitality that the young people have in our generation. He says that's an expression of the mahus of the Jewish people. That's an expression of most of the Jewish people. And therefore he says, our job is what? He writes in the Iris HaTchiyah, Laharbos Kalim, Hasboros Vitochnios, we have to explain to the young generation. Tochnios, we have to have plans for them. Hamoilos, Losol Drochim Bishvil Histaglus Mises, Alpiaorus Ayoser Alyonus. We have to teach them how to live with the great light that they're feeling inside of them. How to live Jewish lives with this great light that is shining within them. Kol Eila Ha'achonis Jerusha Sein L'tshuva Ha'shleim Ha'omedes Acha Kosleinu. Of course, therefore, so tshuva shleim, he saw a tremendous revolution of tshuva, of return to Hashem. That's omedes Acha Kosleinu, borrowing from the pasuk in Shishim. It's omed Acha Kosleinu. He said, this generation, he says, is ripe to do tshuva. They want to do tshuva. They have tremendous awe, but we need to show them the kalim. We need to show the young generation the kalim in order to be able to figure out how to use this or in a way that's al pi Torah mitzvahs, that's al pi Torah. So coming back to our generation and the comparison from Hador of that time and the Hador of this time, there's no question that as far as the Chitzonis is concerned, this generation is a generation that's very self-indulgent. The one we're living in now, we talk about that, and we see that. Selfish and self-indulgent. But the Tviyas, I see this. We all see that the Tviyas, the expectations, the hopes, the ideals of the generation that we're living in are now also tremendous shifas. Of course, idealism is, like everything else, is loivesh tzura and poishet tzura. The Tanya talks about this in Torah and Megillas Esther. There's a lot to talk about. How in every generation, these longings for the Bari Olam, these longings for redemption, a loivesh tzura and poishet tzura, they put on this type of a garment, and changing the outer appearances have changed. Whereas in Rav Kook's generation, the Iker idealism was embodied in the literature of the generation, in the Sefrut of the generation, the literature, the revolutionary movements, the Zionists and the Socialists and the Bundists and the Beitar, and it was. By the writers and the revolutionaries. That was the time that Rav Kook lived in. The writers and the revolutionaries. Who's writing nowadays? Most of the kids growing up now, they don't know how to spell their names because they just have spell check in the computers. The kid's name is Jack. He puts in J-A-K and it's J-A-C-K. Right? They have spell check. The computer fixes everything. Literature. What's that? There's no meaning of literature now. To study, even in the secular world, to talk about Milton, Shakespeare. Milton? He doesn't know Milton Berle. He never heard of. He never heard of John Milton the writer. No, this writer is this nothing, literature. It doesn't mean anything. And when you and I did this the other day in one of the shiurim in the yeshiva. So there was this chevra. So I did a poem from Rav Kook, Merchovim, Expanses. So there are two or three guys in the shiur that like they're into that, but the rest of it's like, what? A poem? Poem. Like that's like in the last poem is the eighth grade yearbook, you know? Like, roses are red, violets are black, you look good with a knife in your back. Like what the guy would write to the girl, you know, in eighth grade, stuff like that. Which meant that he loved her. Poetry? Well, I mean, I think it's not so long ago. There was a very strong interest in literature and poetry even 40 years ago. It's... So it's loyves tzuras, paishit tzura, different forms. I think it's clear that what's happening now is happening in the world of technology. And this is a very big subject in Torah that we've spoken about a little bit. But with the technology, there is, and part of the inyan of the technology, is a longing for that which is called in modern day Hebrew mimush atzmi, self-actualization, self-realization. The generation is groping for something, is looking for something, surfing, looking for something very, very big. The potential, anybody who's dealing especially with young people sees this and feels this. The hefkeiros is unbelievable. The hefkeiros is unbelievable. But the same way that Rav Kook was not discouraged by the hefkeiros, of course he was sickened by it. He was a tzaddik, he was holy. He was much infinitely holier than us and those who are leading us. He was a very, very, very sensitive, delicate, holy person. He couldn't, you know, I have said many times that when he died, his wife said by the funeral, you know what she said? Guf Kaddish. She said, Nid, a helige guf. For a wife to say, Edus, a helige guf, a holy person. He was a holy person. And despite that, he went to the kibbutzim, he went to the yeshuvim, to the moshavot, and he spent so much, he went on Yom Kippur, he left shul, you know that. He went on Yom Kippur to speak to Jewish people who are working, who are on a construction site on Yom Kippur. He left shul, he took off his talis, and he went to speak to Jews who were working on the construction site on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, he went to speak to them, to talk to them, he sat down with them, he sang with them. So, do you think that Rav Kook had more tolerance for Jews working in Yom Kippur than us? We couldn't be civil that. We couldn't be civil such a thing. The Hefkeiros didn't discourage him. It's for kid. You know how he saw in the kfira, in the anger, in, why would a Jew go work in Yom Kippur? He says, wouldn't you rather have a day off? No, they're trying to make a point. But he saw in that point that they were making a crying out to Bar Yom, a crying out for salvation. He saw such a cry. He says they were hurt, they were disappointed, they were angry, they were let down by their teachers, by their rabbis, they were let down by the anti-Semites, they were just the anti-Semitism at that time. You have to understand that Jews had already for 100 years before all of this, more, they thought that by becoming more secularized, they believed 1,000,000% that by becoming more secularized and by learning the language, by speaking German and French and so on, the Be'emes believed that they were going to be accepted by European society. And the patch in those years, especially the Maisa with the Dreyfus, with a patch, a Mendel Bez, the patch in the face, the realization that no matter what we do, it doesn't make a difference. And the more secular we become, the more they hate us. And so now where are we going to turn? Secularism hasn't done it for us. So there are those who said, well, then let's just get out of here. Let's get out. We have to go back, we have to go back to Israel. And then those who returned to Israel, and to some degree were able to say goodbye to the anti-Semitism that they experienced while living in Europe, but they felt the emptiness of the Zionism of the earth without the neshama, of building the land without building the soul. They felt the emptiness. It was a generation of such upheaval. So the hefkeiros, the chutzpah of the generation, which we learned a lot about, the chutzpah, the kfira, the Rav Kook was not in any way discouraged by that. He saw in all of that signs of greatness, that the generation couldn't bear and couldn't tolerate anymore just being stuck and being small and putting up with the hatred and putting up with the emptiness. And so when we look at our generation, are we able to detect? Are we able to look with Rav Kook's eyes and to see the sparks of idealism? Baruch Hashem, you know, especially if you with young people, so a lot of chevre have been asking me this whole year, you know, how is it in yeshiva? How is it in yeshiva? And I have some of the guys are here. How is it in yeshiva? So one of the most basic differences that you feel when you're with young people, not that all of us in shul are so old, but there's an obvious difference when you're with a tzibur of balabatim, who are holy and great, and you're with a tzibur of young people. One of the most obvious differences, and I've pointed this out, you know, when people ask me, one of the most obvious differences is that when you're talking to people who nowadays, it's even if they're like 30, 35, but especially once they head to the 40s or 50s, Nachas Kam V'Kam already, when they turn the corner. So one of the main things that comes out in the conversations is that, you know, oy, what I could have done, what I would have done, what I should have done, but what could I do? I'm already old, and I have this guy, it was like Hanukkah time, was telling me that I should have married that girl from high school. The guy's like 50 years old, he's got a bunch of kids, he's still thinking about the prom or something, I don't know, the girl from high school. I said, what was it about the girl from high school? What was it? She said, oh, she was really frum. I said, I don't know, frum. You're thinking back like this, you know. But the ikka is that as you get older, there's more of a tendency to look back in the past. And when you look back in the past, so there's nostalgia. There's the rewriting of history that always takes place. And there's a lot of yayush. There's a lot of yayush that comes to that. Because the feeling is, I had my opportunity. Even something like I chose a profession and I've been doing this for the last 30 years. I hate it. Every day I wake up in the morning and I'm filled with loathing. You know, whatever, the dentist, I gotta look in this guy's mouth. The doctor, I gotta look in this guy's pancreas. I had that. The lawyer, I gotta look into this guy's pocketbook, whatever he does, I don't know. I can't take it. It makes me sick. So what would you have done? And I said, no. You know, and he starts to talk about, like, you know, he would fix the world, and he would done like all kinds of... What?
Cowboy.
Yeah, kind of that. He would have fit, oh, right. He would have conquered the... he would have gone off to the Wild West and discovered gold. Whatever, found gold. Whatever it is, like, all these things that I would have done, I could have done, I should have done. But the ikir is, like, a certain... There's an avira that when with older people... Yeah, I'm not talking about senior citizens, and I'm talking about some people as they get older. There's a certain yeyush that sets in, that I didn't do it. There were dreams that I had, and I had certain. I was idealistic when I was younger, and you know, I used to be angry about Vietnam, and I would go to protest at the United Nations, what was going on with the Jews in Russia, and so on. I was part of that, and then I was with Ramea Kahana. I was hanging out with Ramea Kahana. You know, I got arrested with Ramea Kahana. Like, things were labored back then. There was a certain excitement. There was. I grew up in those years in the 60s, and even though in those years there was a tremendous amount of excitement. I never got arrested, although I almost did. I really just was watching, and then they put me into the back of the truck with all these crazy Americana people, and they were great people, and the whole time they were like giving each other yashikaris, and I kept on saying, I don't know what happened. I was just standing, I was like a little bit too close at one of these protests. I went past the police thing or something. Because I think I saw a friend of mine and I wanted to go say hello, and I went past the barrier, and then the police grabbed me and they threw me into a truck, and it was a whole thing. My father had to come to the police station at 3 in the morning, and my father said to me, what are you doing? What are you doing over here? And my father had to come, and then they had to call up my teacher from the yeshiva to promise them that I'm not part of Meir Kahana's, you know. I said, I told the police, I promise, I just wanted to say hello to my friend. I don't know, I didn't mean to, you know, I mean, I don't like what's going on and everything. I like this, you know, the protesting, but I wasn't throwing anything. I'm not like a troublemaker. I'm just a yeshiva bach. I don't do any of these things. It's never too late. Shmuel was in the truck with me, but he deserved to be in the truck. He deserved it. He earned a place in the truck. And I was saying, I'm the pachdan. I'm the chicken. I was just going to watch. You know, we used to get off from school all the time. You know, we used to get off from school. Go to the United Nations. Oh, there's a bus. Get in the bus. Go to the United Nations. Help. We had signs. But who goes nowadays? Where? What? United Nations, science, screaming, idealism. The self is very, very big now. The katnus that we see again, the pile of the katnus is gefährlich. The pettiness is gefährlich. The smallness. Nationalism now is already is not, people are not interested anymore. That's nationalism is already not that. People are, well, it's not nationalists now are neo-Nazis. The nationalism is not popular. Who has a cause? Who has a cause? And it looks like we're back to that. We're back to that parish of what was before Hador, before the generation. And even if somebody does have a cause, the cause is to build this yeshiva, to build this shul, to build this moshav. But the cause of Am Yisrael, the Rav Kook spilled his blood for that cause of building Am Yisrael. It's hard to see on the surface. It's hard to see on the surface. But that's the difference between a lot that I see between the older generation and the young generation. I still see it. Getting back to what I was saying before, when they asked me, what's the chiluk? The chiluk is that most of the older generation is looking back and saying, I could have and I should have, and in those days there was a certain fire and it's gone, and I should have followed through, and instead I became just like another suburbanite, whatever. But when you talk to young people, it's the young people that they have these tremendous struggles, but the feeling with young people is that they have the whole future ahead of them. I could do it. I could do something. I can make a difference. I could do something big in my life. I can make a difference. I don't have to settle. And that aura, that light, is unbelievable in the generation. That aura is unbelievable. And it hasn't diminished. And in many ways, as Shmuel pointed out, in many ways, the light is growing stronger. And just as Rav Kook said back then, it's true now, that we have to look for Kalim. We have to speak about big things to the generation. We have to learn Pnimi Satari, we have to learn Sisrei Tar, Chassidus, and Kabbalah on the deepest level, in the right way. I'm not talking God forbid now. You understand, when I talk about Kabbalah, I don't mean Jewish mysticism. But in the deepest, deepest way. Talk about big things. And I see this over and over and over, and we always talk about this, that when you talk to people about big things, the bigness begins to come out. Because Jews are great. And the door that he was speaking to them that has tvius and ruchnius, that's idealistic, is now also. And it's by the older people too. It's by the older people too. We could go to any of the shuls. One of the chevre who's sitting here was telling me that he was on one of the Pesach programs, and how it was a whole week of you know, all these Pesach programs, they bring in Torah scholars, right, and whatever, you know, they bring in rabbis and people, even people come from Eretz Yisrael to go to Florida for Pesach. Except to me, is in Florida. I mean, I understand the panos and whatever. To me, if somebody comes from Eretz Yisrael, this is going to sound terrible, please be mindful. If someone comes from Eretz Yisrael and goes to Florida for Pesach, any speech that he gives in my eyes is already not Kunish event. If you leave Eretz Yisrael to come to Florida for Pesach, unless it's a terrorist, the grandparents are there and there's something like that, I don't know. But what are you talking about? So one of the Chavim told me that he was in one of the programs in Florida, and there was a whole week of lectures, and I think, I don't remember the exact lotion that he used, you know, it was only a week ago that he told me this, not even, but it was something like, there wasn't bechlal anything like with any inspiration, right? there wasn't anything lichtig. It was lectures. How many people on this program? 1,000, something like that. You get 1,000 Jews, you have them for a week. And they're well fed. You understand? Well fed. Because it's hard to talk to Jews who are hungry, you know that. These are all Jews who are well fed. Everybody has already moved the belt a notch or two at least. My wife showed me on a cartoon of Barbie. You saw this? You know Barbie the doll, Barbie. They had Barbie and it says before Passover. And there's Barbie, like regular Barbie, skinny and beautiful. And then it says after Passover, and there's just like three chins. Barbie, like, it was horrible. Like with, you know, like the arms like this. Barbie. Before Passover, and it says after Passover. So you have 1,000 Jews who have had 3 good meals. Multiple things on the menu, you know, main dishes, multiple mains. And the tea room also, the tea room. And so everybody's well fed. Their cousins and their friends, it's Machai. There's nothing in your life that's missing. It's 78 degrees out, the sun is shining. Nobody has to clean up after themselves. If you blow your nose, you throw the tissue on the floor, and then some Spanish person comes and picks it before it hits the ground. What could be? This is it. This is not Mashiach Tzai. This is not Gula. You have 1,000 people for a week. Rabbi Yishlom talked to them about Rabbi Yishlom. That is something. But there's Rabbi Yishlom. It's not the people. If they would be spoken to. As Rav Kook said, if they would be spoken to with godless, they would give Ashray a scream when they would break out of that whole sewer of life, of the emptiness. If they would finally stand up and say that we've had enough of this, enough of these empty speeches, enough, must speak, talk to us about Yiddishkeit, talk to us about Akash Baruch, talk to us about Pnimiyus. Talk real, say something, Amuna. Why do you see now? I know I repeat this all the time. But you see now, when you go to these gateways and Inspire, all these things, you see that they're not 5 people that are coming. They're not secular Jews that are coming. Yeah, you have a smattering, but for the most part, they're from people that are coming. Chassidim and yeshiva people and modern Orthodox. Who's going to Inspire? Who's going to these things? From people. Why do they have to go spend so much money to go for a weekend somewhere? Because they're looking. The generation is great. The generation is a generation of murdered godless, of unbelievable kindness. Look at the mises of tzedakah, the amount of charity, the amount of tzedakah the Jews give. The goodness, the good sky of Jews, what they want to do for other Jews. Everybody's bashing, you know, the Haredim, what's going on with the Haredim. And we know there's a lot of problems. There needs to be a big tikkun. Hashem Zavach should help. There should be a big tikkun. It should be b'shalom. But look, at even though it's so hard, and there's so little money, but look, there's so much tzedakah, there's so much chassadim. There's a kindness, there's a goodness to try to help, to give for other people, to do for other Jews. There's a tremendous, the door is an unbelievable door, Bamas. It's an unbelievable door. So, the tzura is not the same tzura. The literature, the movements, it's not like it was in those days of the Russian Revolution, for sure not. But as far as the demand for something bigger and deeper, as far as the whole Inuit technology and what it means, which I spoke about a lot, it's not for now, it's but there's the Inuit of technology and. And to be able to break out of the place that I'm in, not to be contained in this place, where a person is able to have a thing, he's able to be all over the world, and in a second he's all over the world. I spoke to some Chevron Yeshiva about it this week. This inyan, this impatience, the you know, back in when we were growing up, then they didn't have all these things with the ADD, you know, all the different age, you know, the. They didn't have. The generation is becoming more impatient. It's hard for people to sit in one place anymore. It's already a long time. You should have already been in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash, and the generation is impatient. They can't wait anymore. Hashem Yisbarach should help us to unleash the godless that's within ourselves, should help us to see when we learn the Maimon, which will begin Mitzvah next Erev Shabbos, to help us to see that the door that we're in is the same door of Rav Kook. It's a continuation, just on the outside there's some adjustments, some changes. But the essential, the pnimius is the same, and the fire is getting stronger and stronger. And Mitzvah Shem, it should be, should lahazig gedolim alktanim, emor amate lahazig gedolim alktanim, that the ikur is that the gedolim have to come to speak to the ktanim, that there need to be great people who could speak to the small people, and to bring out lahazig gedolim alktanim, to bring out the nefesh liyitama ba'amav, that we shouldn't be matami ourselves with anything anymore. We should become Jews that are holy and pure, and be zayich for the gula shavamitis and hemi menorah.